The Alaska Federation of Natives Convention got underway this morning in Fairbanks. The keynote speaker today was Nelson Anungapuk. He's retired as Senior Vice President of AFN. Nelson urged young people to work hard to achieve success, to listen to their elders, and for Native people to come together to confront big challenges like threats to subsistence and federal cuts to programs. Julie Kitka is the president of AFN. I asked her to describe what she took away from a panel today on tribal-federal relations.
And it really pointed home that there's a greater educational effort that needs to take place, and Native Americans need to band together and make sure that their story is told, because there is such a lack of information, and there is, in some corners, a real bias against Native Americans because of stereotypes or misinformation.
Mm-hmm. Julie, AFN has been a political, cultural entity for nearly 50 years. There was clearly a need when it was formed to bring people together from across the state. At that time, there was issues with land claims, and it was an important formation. Now, Native corporations have attorneys, they have lobbyists. How will AFN work to continue to be relevant in the future?
I think AFN continues to be relevant as long as people want to get together and talk about their concerns and want to reach across to other parts of the state and learn about their concerns, and when they want to work together. When AFN works really well in our convention is you have a greater understanding from Barrow all the way down to Ketchikan of what's going on, and a great compassion that comes from our people to say, hey, we can step up and help, and we can help you, and it's not just all about us and what's going on in our community. So it's the sharing of experiences, the sharing of friendships, the sharing of people's aspirations and dreams that keep people together. And then when they translate that into saying, let's do something about the problems, let's do something about our dreams, and when they come together in convention and agree with a certain purpose, say for example, like Senator Murkowski's write-in campaign, I mean, our committees took a look at that and decided to endorse Senator Murkowski because they thought that she was the best option for the state of Alaska. Our board of directors came together deciding it was the best for the state of Alaska. Our delegates unanimously got it that the future of the state of Alaska was in their hands as well as other Alaskans, and you saw a historic write-in campaign. It's when AFN comes together around a purpose, a unity of purpose and a unity of vision, and takes action, you see things happen. And often it affects all Alaskans, not just Alaska Natives.
Absolutely. Byron Mallott is a candidate for governor. What would change if an Alaska Native person became the state's leader?
Well, I think that that's a question you need to pose to Mr. Mallott. That is not necessarily a question to us. I mean, obviously, we very much support our people registering to vote and getting out to vote and turning out in record numbers. We very much encourage our people to run for political office, everything from the local races or the school board races or the assembly races to the borough races to legislative races, as well as the statewide office. So we totally encourage people to put their name in the hat and take action if they feel committed to do something. I think with Byron entering the race, it's very inspirational for the Native people. I don't know what your listeners feel about him, but within the Native community, he's very well loved. People respect him. They know him. They have cared about him for many, many decades on that. And to see him, you know, kind of throw his name in the hat and say, hey, I want to make a difference for all Alaska on that, people are inspired by it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julie, we are going to wrap up here quickly, but every year at AFN, we hear a lot about the continuing struggles because, of course, they're there. Historical trauma, lack of economic opportunity in villages. But there are good things happening, of course. What kind of positive changes have you seen during your tenure at AFN?
Oh, we have absolutely seen so many positive changes. I think in the last 25 to 30 years, you've seen an incredible cultural renaissance going on. You see areas of the state in which traditional Native dancing was suppressed by the missionaries and the churches in their areas, where now the communities have flourishing dance groups and are passing on traditions that were not shared for a long time. Lots of areas. I mean, at our early AFN conventions, you'd have very few dance groups, and they'd be all from certain different regions on that. Now virtually every region of the state, this cultural renaissance, you see it in art, you see it in dance, you see it in paintings, you see it in carvings. I mean, you see it in the pride of the young people in their culture and their identity. So clearly that is one component. You also see one of the most interesting things to me is with our land claims, one of the most fundamental things our land claims did was allowed the Native community to organize economically separate from organizing politically. So we were always organized politically, but now we have an economic institution, the for-profit corporation, a way to organize economically. You also see on the social problems, the alcohol problems on that, you see a massive societal change in attitudes towards that, where it's not accepted to abuse alcohol.
Julie Kitka is president of AFN. Tomorrow is going to be another busy day of political speeches. Congressman Young will speak and Senator Begich. There will be a report from the Bush Caucus of the state legislature, and we'll also hear from the Alaska Arctic Commission.